It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account today to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, Megan, as the injury bug has officially hit the Colorado Avalanche, or should I say doubled down on the Colorado Avalanche today. First of all, Valanichushkin out at least a month with ankle surgery. Beyond that, you have Bowen Byram, who's now week to week with an LBI, and Sam Girard also day to day. All of this on top of Gabe Landeskog, who is still being out until January, and Darren Helm with still no timeline to return. Obviously, far more important than all of that is the loss of Peter McNabb. It's something we do want to talk about, but we're going to wait until Jesse is back in town so we can all get together and get our feelings out together. Something very important to all of us, but we want to all do it together. So we're going to wait until tomorrow to do that. So if you want that kind of talk, be sure to tune into tomorrow's show. For today, there is a significant amount of Avs news to talk about. For starters, that's bad. Three guys now out, at least for these upcoming games, Byram and Nichushkin significantly longer. First question, can the Avs survive the way their roster is currently constructed through these injuries?
Well, I think some of that's going to depend on how serious the Girard injury is. Girard being day to day, if he plays on Thursday and he plays, you know, he just plays moving forward, it helps because they won't have the cap space to fill out the roster if Sam Girard can't play. They will be like right there, because they need to call two guys back up from the Eagles. So if they just go right back with Maltsev and Kaut, like, I don't know if that's what they're going to do. Obviously, Kaut, like,
it's gonna get games. Yeah,
there should be no conversation about that. But until he gets called back up, I'm uncomfortable. But that's where I am with the trust on this. But let's just say Maltsev and Kaut. If they call those two guys back up and Girard is good, McDermott, then the lineup is pretty much what it was for the game on Saturday in Finland. That's just the lineup. It's McDermott or McDonald, whichever one they want to do. One of them on defense, one of them at forward. I'd go McDonald on defense and then McDermott at forward, especially because without Byram, you're losing a little bit of
puck moving ability.
Yeah, you lose some of that puck moving. And so, let's just be real. Curtis McDermott's never been a good defenseman in the NHL. Yep. He's been passable as a forward, where you're fine there. With him playing 4 minutes a night at forward, it's not that big of a deal, but it's obvious that Jared Bednar has never trusted him as a defenseman. And so that's just what I would do. But that leaves them with no extra forwards. If something happens during morning skate, you know, guy gets diarrhea during warmups, like whatever. Like if something happens and a guy can't play in an emergency, they will not have a full lineup. So that's like in the immediate, Sam Girard's day-to-day availability is weirdly like in the short term, the most important part of this. Because if he can't go, then you are looking at either just playing a man down, and yep. Let's be real here, it wouldn't be that different from how they are already operating, at least at the on the forward side. But then you would have Josh Manson, Eric Johnson, Jacob McDonald, and Curtis McDermott are four of your six defensemen in the game.
Yeah, it's extremely concerning on the defensive side, especially we've talked about this a little bit before. You would like to see the Avs get away from playing dudes 27 minutes a night and insane amounts, because that kind of stuff is what leads to day-to-day style injuries. And it doesn't get any better. There's just no way Jared Bednar is going to have any faith in however you sort out the pairings with McDermott and McDonald on them.
I mean, that would be the pairing.
Sure.
It would be Taves McCarr. It would be Manson Johnson. And then it would be McDonald McDermott.
And that, you know, that pairing's not getting more than 6 minutes a night if it's a close game.
And we've talked about Manson Johnson being a pairing that has seen the least amount of success so far this year.
Yep.
For Colorado, I was literally going through all the data today to be like, are we overanalyzing this? No, that pairing is bad. That pairing has produced bad results. And if that becomes your second pairing, you just have a huge problem here. You just do. Like, that's even if Sam Girard is in there, like, that's Sam Girard, and Girard has not been, he's not all the way back to the guy that we are expecting him to be. I would say his play this year has been uneven. Now, Sam Girard playing uneven is certainly a step up from what you're going to get out of McDermott or McDonald as defensemen, but that's a really tough job for G. That's a really tough job.
Yeah. It's definitely sketchy. Megan, do you think the Avs can play? Let's live in a world where Girard isn't back immediately. Can the Avs get by without him?
Like, secure a win without him?
That's the idea.
I'm sure it's possible. It's just made that much more challenging. It's Nashville and Carolina, right? That we're kind of looking at coming down the pipeline most closely. And those are not teams that I wouldn't take seriously, but they've also met lesser teams and have had a rigorous schedule to start this year. So it's certainly possible, but it's definitely not made easy for them, because the defense as a whole, even with healthy players, has been coming together a little bit more slowly, finding their cohesion a bit. And so this just disrupts what they were building in terms of cohesion. So it's just made that much more difficult now, because this is going to be more instability. It's the last thing that they needed.
Yeah, it's... Is it the end of the world by any means? No. But it's kind of the thing you were hoping for the Avs to avoid. Now, it could have been worse. You know, they didn't lose.
It kind of feels like it. Like a team that builds itself around its defense.
Yeah.
And you're a month into the season and your defense gets dinged up like this. You're already struggling badly at the forward position. Like, the doomsday feeling is real. Like, it's not the end of the world, but in the moment, it feels like it is, man. This feels terrible.
Well, I mean, it feels like you've gone from they were okay to you're one injury away now from disaster.
Yeah. And like, we knew that Colorado's depth on the defensive side especially was not there. Yeah. That one injury to the defense was going to stress it a little bit, but two was a really big problem. Like, when your defense is healthy and you've got that preferred top six, you're very comfortable. But when you get beyond those six defenders, you're in some trouble.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of depth.
The cost
there.
Of doing business, you know, that's what happens when you decide to make the commitments that they made. And we knew that was the risk of it. We knew that this was dangerous territory for them, and this is the downside of it. Right here, we're seeing it.
So let's not beat around the bush. Then, should the Avs go out and get a defenseman, or should they just ride it out?
I'd want to learn about the nature of Sammy G's injury. Like, hearing his day-to-day does feel short-term, but is it something lingering from a past injury or reoccurring from something else? Because otherwise I would say no, unless there was more context to the nature of this injury.
I'd feel a lot better about Sammy G if Nichushkin wasn't day-to-day and ends up getting surgery, and Byram wasn't day-to-day and has now been upgraded to week-to-week. Day-to-day for the Avalanche organization feels more like we don't know yet than actually day-to-day.
Yeah, day-to-day feels like we're waiting for that. I mean, Nichushkin was about to play.
Yeah.
And
now he's suddenly getting surgery. Yeah.
Yeah, and now, you know, he's a little uncomfortable. Okay, let's just get it taken care of. So I see where they were coming from with their approach to it. Especially because they just weren't playing very much, but even with the rest, it didn't get any better.
Yep. Still didn't answer my question though.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think so, okay. Because like, what kind of defender are you gonna get? Like, are you really gonna seriously go and trade for Jack Johnson right now?
No. I would totally go trade for Dmitry Kulikov, though.
I want to fight you so bad right now. Anyway, it's been like 10 years of this Avalanche Dmitry Kulikov.
I know.
We've had a couple of years where it's lied dormant. I would just like to keep it there. But no, I don't think so, because again, we've talked about it. You are not asset rich. You just don't have very much to give right now. And whatever you are interested in giving, you're talking about doing for the sake of the month of November.
Yeah.
It's not for the playoff run. It's not a long-term injury where you're like, this guy's out for the year. Like, it's for the month of November.
Yep.
So, in the month with Nichushkin out, if Nichushkin is out exactly for one month, and he comes back on December 8th, it's 14 games. So there's a lot of hockey games to be played there. But it's also only 14 games, you know?
Well,
like you're making a decision. Look, I would say 2 weeks ago, if Ethan Bear was still available, there was an obvious one there. There was an obvious a guy that was right-handed, a guy that would fit into your system, a guy with some talent that you could actually that does not feel like it would be purely a Band-Aid. But right now it feels like a Band-Aid.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't think they need to aggressively pursue a forward at all yet.
I don't think so either.
It's if you were looking to do something, it would mean Sam Girard's injury is a little bit more serious and you're looking to shore up your defense in the immediate.
Did you guys see that?
No.
Okay.
AJ's got ghosts confirmed.
I tell you what, man, the roommate being in Finland for a week, there have been nights where
some hauntings going on upstairs. Well,
I'm downstairs by myself. I'm in the basement by myself chilling. And I think I hear him upstairs. And I'm like, is this just my brain lying to me? These random neurons firing off? Is he up there? And it got so weird one night that I actually went up there and like wandered around. It was like, now it's dead quiet. I'm hearing things. I don't know, man. I'm a little nervous. Excited for him to come home. So for those noises to resume being normal. Anyway, sorry.
No, you're good. That's perfect. I do want to look into this a little bit deeper. It's a conversation that some people want to hear about, some people don't, the salary cap. But we will get into that after we let you know we're brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. If you want to, you know, up your salary cap a little bit, use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account with DraftKings. With that new account, you can bet $5 on any NBA team to win their next game, and you get $200 in free bets when they do. So jump on it, get $200 to mess around with. You can bet that on anything you want on DraftKings with $8, $25 bets. It's great to just have a little bit of fun with that. Of course, if you got a good line on stuff, you can make yourself a good amount of money. You can do things like same game parlays, just normal bets or anything in between on just about any sport under the sun. So check out DraftKings Sportsbook today. Again, be sure to use that DNVR code when you sign up for a new account to get the super big bonuses. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also brought to you by Athletic Greens. You can go over there and get yourself the perfect start to every day. Just one scoop in your cup of water every morning. It's got 75 different vitamins and minerals in it, a bunch of probiotics and adaptogens too. So they've got you covered. It'll boost your immune system. It's great for a pre-workout. A bunch of athletes use it for that. You can also get it to help with, pretty much anything. Like, it'll help wake you up in the morning. It's a great hangover cure. It does so many things that it's just great to have in the morning. So go check it out today. You can go to athleticgreens.com/avalanche to get on it. When you purchase, you also get a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 travel packs sent to you too. So take control of your health. Get yourself some Athletic Greens at athleticgreens.com/avalanche. Second period of the day presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I've already seen chat talking about it and confusing each other about it. The Avs cap situation and the potential for putting someone onto LTIR. If the Avs do not go out and get someone, there is absolutely no reason for them to use LTIR. Again, what you're seeing them do, why you've seen Martin Kaut and Mikhail Maltsev get sent down, is they're trying to accrue as much cap space as humanly possible on a day-to-day basis. Yep. So they have as much as possible for the trade deadline.
Yep. It's just maximum flexibility. If you put a guy on LTIR, yes, you can use that space now.
But you don't accrue it for later. Yeah.
You accrue zero cap space during that time. Putting a guy on LTIR is a 24-day commitment to using it. So if you put Gabe Landeskog on LTIR, yeah, he will continue to be on injured reserve beyond that limit, but you're saying, well, we're not accruing any cap space for the next month.
Yep.
So
and indefinitely after that, as long as he's on LTIR also, but
yeah. And then after that month, then if they wanted to, they could pull him off of it and put it back on regular IR, but you'll get no cap space out of it. So are you going to do that to just so that you can pluck one more guy out of the AHL and play him 4 minutes? Is that worth it? Or would you rather just not have that guy in the lineup? That's the decision that they have to make, depending on the severity of the injury. So to Gerard, I mean, sorry. Because that's without Gerard, they can continue to run the bare bones, no subs lineup that they've got that they ran in Saturday in Columbus.
Yep.
Some variation depending on what they want to do, McDermott versus McDonald. Some variation of that lineup will get run. But that's the lineup. If they don't, So LTIR is not like some like, hey, your problems are fixed. It just changes your problems, it reduces your flexibility. At the deadline, and do you want to reduce flexibility at the deadline to make a meaningful move that could help you win a Stanley Cup, Or do you want to do it so that you're a little bit more competitive in November?
I mean,
that I don't mean to say that to minimize the games in November, like they magically don't count.
I understand what you're saying, but the only way you can convince yourself of doing it now is if you're making a move that you believe is both, right?
Exactly. Well, and that's where I brought up the name Jack Johnson. He's cheap. He's familiar. He'd be plug and play. Obviously, he would just drop right in and have no issues adapting to what the Avs need or want or whatever. And he wouldn't cost very much trade-wise. Yeah. But also was the guy that played in Game 6 when they won the Stanley Cup. Like, he played half of the postseason for them last year.
Yep.
So that's why I brought his name up. You know, if you could do Luke Shen from Vancouver, then my dream from last year could live. But it would be this. It would be very much the same style of move. it would have to be a lower depth guy, like not a guy that's really going to be an impact player for you, but keeps the boat afloat. Kind of thing. And I think that's the goal for the next month right now, you know, a lot of random questions here about different players and their injuries. To recap, Nichushkin is out for a month. Helm remains week to week. Byram is week to week with a lower body injury. And Gerard is day to day.
Yep.
That's where we're at for today.
That's the knowledge that we have now. Presumably, more specifics may come out on some of those things over the next couple of days with Gerard's day-to-day. We'll see how close he is on Thursday to actually playing.
Yep.
I don't want to sidetrack us too much, but I saw this tweet and thought of you, AJ. So I know Allie has it back here. The bad guy in Hallmark movies is a boyfriend who is like, no, babe, I can't drop everything and leave work this weekend. I'm about to close a deal for $10 million that will set us up for life. And the good guy is a guy who is just standing there when she gets to her hometown.
He is not just standing there, all right? He is universally liked by the people in that hometown, and he's usually a firefighter or a policeman or a rancher or a farmer or something, and he's almost always a single dad. All right? Fucking get it straight. Owen.
And the bad guy is usually a dick. He's not likable. He's like,
he's like a woman's career.
Yeah.
All right. Bad guys in Hallmark movies get a bad rap, okay? They're actually good people.
That's a weird hill to live on.
They're just under a lot of stress. Trying to provide for their families. Think about it like this, all right?
Look, you guys don't know, but I have ranted many times on the Hallmark formula with us not being on camera and why it works very well. Okay, it's a genius formula.
AJ can't handle it when they break the formula.
They just make bad movies when they venture outside of the comfort zone. They make bad movies, okay? When they're in the comfort zone, they are bad movies, but charming. All right? They are charming and lovable and relatable. Everybody wants to fall in love like that. It's the shit. So...
AJ, now, are you excited for the Lindsay Lohan Christmas?
I am excited for it, in fact.
We'll have to do a watch-along of that.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to just watch it with Z and not with other people. We're going to watch. She's going to have to sit through that with me. Although, well, I think she's the one that showed it to me. After. Absolutely.
Well, look, sometimes you have to be the bad guy, though. And it feels like the Avs might have to be the bad guy in the Hallmark movie this month. Because money's tight. They gotta strap it down, and they can't replace any of their injured players, all right?
Gotta stick to the formula.
Yep. Sometimes you gotta be the bad guy to get good results.
Stick to the formula in from Finland, and they will do just fine.
That's actually exactly what I'm thinking. even if it's not winning results, right? They are down going into a second period. I still think they need to deploy players pretty evenly in time on ice and just live and die by that for at least a couple games and really see what someone like a Dryden Hunt or a Maltsev or a Kaut, whoever it might be, is made of.
I also am curious if some of the heavy usage had to do with the lopsided schedule where they knew they were getting a week off, where it was like,
sure,
you're going to go really, really hard for 2 days because you're going to have four off after this. And then when they don't, you know, when they play and then, oh, it's every other day, then in that, you know, then in that case, of course, in that case, you know, the usage will have to smooth out a little bit when they can't just run a guy into the ground and be like, all right, you got a week off.
I mean,
so I think that will be an interesting, it will be an interesting litmus test of trust of the roster versus differences to the schedule.
I mean, look, no offense to any of the injured players outside of Landeskog, but these aren't your stars. And, you know, Val Nichushkin is close, at least in the last year and a half, close.
He's a bona fide top six.
Right. But he's not Nathan McKinnon. He's not Kale McCarr. He's not Mikko Rantanen. This is a team that, in theory, should be able to lean on those top guys to get them wins, regardless of the lack of depth that you're going to see with these injuries.
That's the beauty of the regular season, is that your best guys can just straight up win you games.
Yep.
When you get to the playoffs, winning is a much harder, it's much more depth oriented, a lot more defensively focused, goaltending, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Like all that shit. But winning in the regular season, no. And the Avs don't need to try and win the division in November. Yep. You just need to stay competitive. You don't want to be 15 points out come January 1st or whatever. So just win some games, stay competitive. With these injuries, honestly, if they played 600 hockey for the next 2 months, they would be just fine.
I think November is why I wouldn't want them to be too reactive in how they move forward right now.
What would trigger a reaction? Another serious injury or just Girard being out for a significant amount?
When you say a reaction, you mean like a, okay, now we need to make a deal?
Yeah.
I would say any injury that stretches beyond the new year.
Okay.
Because even if you lose, you know, Mikko Rantanen or whatever, if you lose one of these other top guys, even if it's just for a month.
It's so you're in full get to December, just survival mode at this point.
Even 2 months, honestly, even if you get through, like, it's really like January, like it would have to be, and they would have to, like, it would have to be an injury like that. And then they would actually have to lose the game.
Yeah, they would have winning. You're obviously not changing anything.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Megan, same boat or a little more aggressive?
No, very similar boat.
Okay. If it's a forward, I think I can agree with you guys. If the Avs lose another defenseman, I don't know how they don't make a move of some kind.
If the Girard thing turns into weeks,
cannot be icing McDermott and McDonald every night.
Like, the value of a Jack Johnson goes up the worse those injuries are, you know?
Yeah.
Because Byram, it's like, oh, week to week. Okay, well, if he's out for this week, but he's back for, they play next Monday, I think?
Yep.
If he's back for, like, that Monday game, or really, against St. Louis. If he's back for, even if he misses this homestand, and he's back for the road trip that they take.
I would say even if he's back by that Vancouver home game.
Okay.
That's fine, but if you're looking at it more like middle of December for Byram and Girard's out a couple weeks,
yeah,
if someone like EJ gets nicked up or something,
yeah,
you know, at a certain point, You have to ice a roster that's functional.
Yeah, and Megan, the question I would have for you is, from the Eagles' perspective of this, if there is the need to call up a defenseman, is there? It's like Brad Hunt, right? Like, it's Brad Hunt and then a prayer.
It is, because I think even with Brad Hunt, it's still prayerful. I really like Brad Hunt. I just don't think he would be a call-up solution. I advocate, too, for McDonald. Like, if this were an alternate universe and McDonald was with the Eagles to be called up, I would endorse that as the first man up. I don't feel as confidently about Brad Hunt in that place.
Is there any hope beyond Brad Hunt? A YOLO?
Okay, so actually, that was my next answer. I don't think it would be fair to his timeline of development for his debut to happen this way. So I would really hate, I wouldn't wish that on him, right? But it was really exciting for a minute when we got to see Justin Barron get his chance. And I have liked how Giravalov looks, but he is still very raw. But I really do like the way that he looks with the Eagles right now.
Right. I mean,
he's still discovering some identity things. Not a bad way, but like what he could bring to the table is in flux. And that is another reason why I would not want that to happen too soon.
I'm down with the Giravalov call up if you make it and you just live with the result. But we know Bednar's going to play that dude for 3 minutes. And it's, why did you even call him up?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of my, that's kind of what I've been talking about on the show about, you know, why bother messing with this? Even if Gerard is hurt and you literally are down to 11 forwards and 6 defensemen, and that's just what you have for your rosters, you know, what's the point? If you're only going to play the guy that you call up for 3 minutes or whatever.
Yep. Just live without it.
Really, like, just keep accruing the cap space because you're not using that guy anyway. What does it matter at that point? So we haven't really talked about it, but assuming that he is getting called back up this week, this is it for Martin Kaut. This is your shot that you've waited all this time for. You're healthy. You've earned a little bit of cred with the coaches in the last week. Like, this is it, man. This is your time to say, hey, you guys don't need to go get somebody at the deadline. You don't need to claim some guy off waivers again. You don't need to do any of that shit. I got you. This is it. This is his chance. Yep. Feels like we've been waiting years for the right combination of factors to fall into place here. And they're here. It broke Martin Kaut's way. And if it's not going to happen, it's going to be because
he didn't live up to it.
He did not make the most of this moment. Yep. But this is it for him. Like, this is like the best opportunity. If you're pulling specifically for Martin Kaut to succeed, this is his time.
So would you say the Avs might need to beef up their roster? His faces are worth their weight in gold.
I get so much shit when I make jokes. And you just get to do this live on air, and I have to live with it.
Yep.
Bullshit.
Yep.
Between this and the Kulikov thing, we're fighting today.
Oh, it's on. It's on. Go get yourself some Hassle Cattle Company. The best beef you can find out there comes from a family farm down in Texas. You get 20% off at hasslecattlecompany.com and use code DNVR20. When you order, you can get, of course, their amazing Wagyu beef burgers and sausages, but you can also get tons of other meats, including ribeye steaks, tomahawk steaks, New York strips, you name it. They got the whole, I don't know, what's a beef term for, like, the whole gamut? The whole hog, even though it's a cow, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Check out Hassle Cattle Company. There you go. Edwin is doing my reads for me at this point. Again, hasslecattlecompany.com to order today. They'll ship it right to your door so you can just have it good to go for dinner. Also brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. I've been told drinking the Broncos country will give you the energy to do the high knees that you need to do in life. So go check out some Breck Brew. You can find it at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com. You can also check out all of their other merch, which is very popular at breckbrew.com. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on with the Avs roster with these injuries going on?
What's Sean Barron's up to right now?
Sign him mid-season.
Yeah.
No, please.
Doing I was just thinking about him right now. Sorry, Pios.
I was just thinking about him this morning because I was thinking about how I do want to do a piece on Barron's, and I want to do it before he absolutely pops off because, like, his D partner was just defenseman of the week, and naturally something's about to happen, and all media is going to flock to DU to tell the Barron's midseason check-in story, and I was like, I should probably be seeing how he's doing. Get there first.
DU's not as good this year.
Just take...
No.
Just take the Avs ELC with you and just have him sign it.
No. I really
he can be the seventh D. No more McDonald and McDermott. It's Sean.
Hey, Sean, can I get an autograph?
No, gotcha. He's the... gotcha.
P.S. Here's $100,000 from the Avs. Like, we got you, but also, like, there is a nice bonus here that'll pay for your apartment.
You're coming home with me.
Yeah. Great. Now we've turned it into a crime.
No, he has to go to World Juniors. We can't stop him this time.
Leave it to Megan to take something totally harmless and innocent and turn it into a crime.
Was watching a Wolves San Diego game, and I was like, will you take Drew Helison home with you? And they're like, what? No, I can't do that. I just want them all back.
Okay. If there's nothing else legit on the Avs roster side, a topic nothing we have been legit. Well,
as opposed to us talking about crime,
well, we might end up talking about some crimes anyway, unfortunately.
Good point.
Yeah,
a topic we've been asked about a lot to talk about is this whole Mitchell Miller situation in the NHL, and he was signed, he wasn't signed. There's a lot of mis and incorrect communication about everything going on with the Boston Bruins attempting to sign him. For reference, if you don't know, Mitchell Miller was originally drafted by the Arizona Coyotes, and the Coyotes ended up having to forfeit his rights because of an incident involving him as a student in eighth grade, I believe it was, bullying a special needs child. And more importantly, never officially apologizing.
Yeah, in the lead up to the draft process, his teams were doing background on him. He apologized to the teams for the way he behaved and whatever. Did not actually apologize to the kid. Did not actually apologize to the family. And through all this time, as far as we know, has not done so to date.
Yep.
I think within the last couple of weeks, the mother reported that he reached out over what initially was reported as Instagram, but might actually have been Snapchat, where the messages vanish, to apologize there. And that might be the only direct apology that has been issued to Isaiah. We don't have a paper trail of it happening.
This is an ongoing situation. The draft he was drafted in was 2019, I think.
2020.
Was it 2020? Either way, it's been a couple of years.
This draft class has kind of got mashed together.
Yeah. This past week, the Boston Bruins attempted to sign him, maybe did have him signed at one point. There was immediate backlash from a lot of places, including their own hockey players. And then Bettman in Finland came out and said that Mitchell Miller is not an eligible NHL player and may never be. And then the NHLPA came out and said, we haven't heard anything about this. What's going on? And the ultimate result is the Bruins did end up reneging on the deal, or at very least releasing him.
Yeah, they rescinded the offer, basically.
Yeah. So it's a very weird situation, but ultimately Mitchell Miller is not in the NHL or signed to an NHL deal.
Miller was a guy that he was drafted in the fourth round by Arizona and would have been drafted higher.
Yeah.
But he got put on a bunch of D&D lists by teams because of the bullying incident, because character concerns like that are a no go. I mean, when you're 14 years old, you know, you're doing things like that. Like, I think that's where the people split into different sides on this, is that there were people, oh, he was 14. I know I did stupid stuff when I was 14. Like, yeah, I also did stupid stuff when I was 14, but I don't recall any of it being
felony assault.
Yeah, or racist in nature and illegal. So, you know, they're not the same. And I think this story is kind of the continuation of what we've been talking, what we talked about a lot over the summer, of being allowed to play professional hockey for money is a privilege. It's not a birthright. Just because you're good at the game doesn't mean that you are entitled to a professional career in the sport. It is a privilege. And when you do certain things, you remove yourself from being able to enjoy that privilege. And the only reason that this has come back around, so we got drafted. The Coyotes did a little bit of tap dancing and ultimately gave in to, to common sense, rescinded the rights. And then Nodak, he was scheduled to go play for North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you can attend, but you can't play for our hockey team, but you can go to the school. And instead of doing that, he got the offer to go play in the USHL for the Tri-City Storm. Tri-City has a history of giving chances to kids with character issues over the years. It's a very Tri-City thing. So that's where he's been. And the reason that this is coming up now is because he had a dominant USHL season last year, in which he scored almost 40 goals as a defenseman, which, look, like, just for context here, that's not a super high scoring league. And for a defenseman to put up 39 goals in any kind of competitive North American junior league is really impressive. And that's why he's back on teams' radar. And that's really why it's disappointing from a lot of our perspective, as people who are, feel like, here we go again with the hockey culture conversation, because, oh, well, the NHL had kind of moved on from this kid, but then he has a dominant USHL season, which he scores a ton of points, and it looks like, oh man, like this guy could really play, he could really be something. So we have to, we're gonna look into giving him a chance and blah 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 blah. And the Bruins did that, and they apparently didn't do any meaningful homework on it. They didn't talk to seemingly anybody except Mitchell Miller.
Yeah. The most damning part of it for me to Boston front office is the fact that it happened and their entire team of players went, why? This isn't it.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Don.
I feel like I'm going to get on a soapbox a little too much. And I don't think
this show is about. Yeah.
Do it.
You know, because I think people who need to hear it most aren't really a part of this side of the conversation. But I just kind of have frustrations with how a lot of people enter this conversation. There's too much black and white thinking in how people perceive criticisms or backlash directed at the Boston Bruins, especially when this was first announced. People perceived that as a knee-jerk reaction that doesn't allow a redemption arc for somebody who made mistakes when they were younger. And I really reject this notion for several reasons. For one, this happened more or less in 2020 in that we had a lot of great reporting happening in 2020 around that draft that had the police report and a lot of details from the juvenile court case that ultimately led in his conviction. And it was beyond just bullying with the incident with the urinal and the lollipop. There was a violent assault that occurred after this as well. And there was alleged video surveillance of this assault. And this is why it was a damning court case, and why both the young men involved had to concede. And even the magistrate overseeing the juvenile court case addressed Miller specifically in saying that he seemed like he felt sorry for himself, but she wasn't sure that he felt sorry. And these are details that we had as readily in 2020 as we do now that were available then. And those details by themselves are pretty damning. But even the NHL teams that put him on the do not draft list, they did so because in his account of what happened in 2016, there were so many discrepancies that there was distrust built then. And this was 2020, right? We've had now two more additional years from an incident that happened in 2016. That's six additional years. That's a lot of time for someone to demonstrate rehabilitation. And the onus is on Miller to demonstrate that. And that is where the backlash that is directed at the Boston Bruins is applying pressure for the Bruins to demonstrate to us the public perception that rehabilitation has happened. And it's not an unfair request, because nobody is saying that this young person who is now 20 cannot have a career in the NHL. They are just asking for them, the Boston Bruins, to demonstrate that they've actually done due diligence, because our trust in the NHL and in the Boston Bruins to conduct a thorough investigation, their competency to do so has been severely broken. We've seen it in how they handled Kyle Beach in the Chicago Blackhawks. For the public to have distrust in the NHL or an organization is not unfounded. And this was so quickly corroborated in less than a 24-hour news cycle when Miller's agent puts out a press release trying to outline the organizations that Miller has worked with to demonstrate this path to rehabilitation. And within less than 24 hours, two of those organizations are coming forward and saying they haven't worked with Miller. This is something that is so quickly has holes poked through it that it's a disservice to the people who enjoy hockey and want to expect better in the players who play it. Because I just really hate the notion that the criticisms of the Boston Bruins for signing him in the first place are not allowing this young person a chance to grow and change, because that opportunity is still available to Miller, and it's been there this whole time. And it's just frustrating because he is now 20. There are a lot of adults who have sheltered this young person back when he was 14 and this happened. And I struggle to identify this young person at 14 as just a child, because there is a lot of innocence and naivety there. But this is also encroaching on the age to operate a motor vehicle with a learner's permit. Like, this isn't someone who completely had no agency in their actions. And there's a lot of time that has passed to demonstrate that change has actually happened. And I would like to hear from Miller in all of this, is kind of where I'm at. He's now 20. That's an adult. I would just like to see the vulnerability, the accountability, if that is what has really happened here. And he has had, in this whole time, the chance to do that.
This, the perception for me, especially, of the apology that you talked about, whether it was on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, it's been 2 years additionally on top of all of the time it had already been. And you don't apologize until allegedly now you've apologized a week before you sign another NHL contract.
Where you know this is going to be news.
Right. Like, there, you had 2 years to make that decision, and you know Boston was talking to him when that apology came out. Like, it continues to feel like there is no real remorse there at all.
How damaging is it that he doesn't do that immediately after getting his draft rights rescinded?
Yep.
You would have thought he would have taken the time to do it right then and there. If he was ever going to be introspective about it, it was going to be right then. And he just hasn't. The only time the consistent pattern of behavior here, as Megan mentioned, is that there's been a lack of contrition this entire time. He's had opportunities. He's had a bunch of years to try and do anything about this.
Well, and
he hasn't taken ownership of it in the way that you would think a person who does feel contrition, a person who is sorry about what they did and has grown from it, would do. And because that's the kind of thing that you look back and you're like, God, I was being monstrous to this kid. I screwed this kid up. It was just monstrous behavior, and has not taken any ownership of that. You don't take any ownership of it. Why should anybody believe that you in any way have learned anything from it and grown at all? And if you haven't grown, you don't get the privilege of playing professional hockey. You just don't.
Even in a world where if you believe 14 is such a young age where he shouldn't be held responsible for something like that, he's 20 now. Yeah, you're old enough to be an adult and at very least publicly be able to talk about this. And we haven't seen anything from him directly, as far as I know.
Yeah, same. As far as I know, nothing straight from him. And to me, I think that this is one of those things that you just draw a hard line in the sand. You know, these guys that go on to play pro hockey become role models and become important members of their communities, things like that. And if you can't pass the good person test, you shouldn't get to play pro hockey. And I wish we could weed out all the bad guys where you're just like, this guy's a piece of shit. He doesn't get to play pro hockey. It should be a privilege. And the Bruins were just utterly misguided in this entire endeavor. And they weren't the only one. The Bruins are getting all the flack because they were the ones that he signed the contract with. But we know that from the reporting that there were multiple teams interested.
Yep.
And you feel the same thing. Shame on all those teams. If the Avs were one of them, shame on them. It's a joke, honestly. It's disappointing.
It definitely sucks. I see the comment about Andrew Shaw in the chat. I want to be clear. I don't think this is hypocrisy. I want to believe the best and say that this is a step in the right direction for the NHL, starting to do the right things.
And it comes about because of backlash. Like, yep. If people hadn't come down hard in Boston for the signing, I think this would have stood. And it's not an impossible standard to set for any NHL player to want, if they do have wrongdoing in the past, to just want transparency in what has happened since the wrongdoing to demonstrate that they've rehabilitated in some way. It's really not a big ask.
Agreed.
It's not even cancel culture. These are just consequences of being a shithead. Nobody's saying that he can't go on and have a productive life and be a person that has a career somewhere else. He just can't do it in pro hockey.
I mean, I don't even know if people are saying he can't do it in pro hockey. If he shows at least some remorse.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes
some progress as a human being.
If he goes to the KHL and is really productive in 2 years, we'll probably be right back here having this conversation again about him.
Yep. So, I don't know. Y'all know the drill on this. We wish that it was a perfect world and that people in the hockey circles did everything right, but they don't, and it needs to be talked about because this sweeping it under the rug bullshit that's gone on for decades is not acceptable.
Yeah, we have to collectively try and put pressure on the people in power to raise the standard of what it is to be a professional hockey player. The expectations of players when they're, you know, the representations of your organizations, the representations of our communities. You know, we want to raise the standard of what it is to be a professional hockey player. We want teams to care the way that we do about who these guys are when they're not on the ice. It's great that you can score 20 goals. It's great that you can do this or that or whatever. That's awesome. Congrats. But it goes beyond that. There's a deeper responsibility. There's a deeper responsibility for the three of us as people who are faces of the Avalanche fandom, faces of an Avalanche fan community. There's a responsibility on us to behave a certain way. Why do we continue to see these guys get free passes? It for once it was nice to see when you know, now that the story has kind of ended at this point, at least in this version of it, it was nice to see he wasn't, you know, he hasn't shown the contrition required. He hasn't shown growth. No rehabilitation, as Megan said, then he doesn't get to be part of this world. Go do something else with your life. He's got plenty of opportunity. He's only 20 years old. He's got a whole life ahead of him to figure out what he wants to do. He just can't do this right now. And I think that's great. That's great for the hockey world that it finally drew that line in the sand. It sucks that the Bruins even opened up that door and the other teams that were interested in it. Yep. All that sucks.
All right. I don't really have much else to say. Anything else you guys want to add? Nope. Okay. We're going to wrap up this show. Then we appreciate all y'all listening, all that. We will be back tomorrow, unfortunately, with not a happy topic, but one that will be a lot more about love with Peter McNabb. So be sure to tune in tomorrow. We'll have all four of us, including Jesse, on to talk about him. So should be a show that is a thing. There'll be a lot of emotions. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
Either way, we appreciate all y'all hanging out in the chat. We will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, we'll see you later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.